Good afternoon, everyone. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission. Randy Christman, Chair, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Offert and Julie Fedorchak, and some staff and a number of people from MDU, and we'll go around and identify everybody at the table in a moment. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-23-175, which is an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to provide natural gas distribution facilities to serve the city of Portal, North Dakota. I guess I didn't mention it's, I think it was 1:34 when we started on June 6th, right? D-Day. Do either of you have opening comments?
I do not.
I do not.
Okay, if everybody would just go around and into the microphone and state your name, please.
Brian Johnson, staff.
Stephanie Bosch, Montana, Dakota.
Chris Hansen, staff.
Travis Jacobson, Montana, Dakota.
Larry Oswald, Montana, Dakota.
Lisa Smith, Mayor of Portal.
And welcome, Lisa. I guess when I was saying MDU people, I guess you don't technically fall into that category. But
and I thought MDU had got some new people, so
that,
I was like, oh.
That's what I thought, too.
We never know. There's, you know, people coming and going here all the time. So.
But welcome here. I presume you've probably never been here?
Nope.
Have you visited the Capitol before?
No, I have not.
Well, might I advise, just from a personal standpoint, I'm a big fan of the 18th floor. There's an observation deck. You look all four directions. The inside of the walls, there are a lot of historic pictures. If you have time, I think it's well worth it.
Okay.
Type 18 in at the elevator.
Yeah.
There's only one elevator that goes all the way up.
That elevator was interesting.
Yeah. People are so confused by it.
Oh, yeah. Our elevators are a challenge.
Yeah.
And then the embarrassing thing, Lisa, is we get used to it, and okay, I'm guessing it's we. Go to a conference or something in a hotel, and the elevator comes, and you get in, and you're standing there. Oh, I have to press a number.
Doesn't it know where I'm going?
So used to that. That's done by now.
I know, it's so bad.
Okay, so I want to emphasize this is an informal hearing, which involves only. This one's more informal than many. This involves only undisputed facts. If there are disputed facts, we will wrap up and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first. I don't know who's going to lead off.
I can Travis? Start. Okay, good afternoon, commissioners and staff. Travis Jacobson, as I mentioned earlier, with MDU. With me today is Larry, Lisa, and staff. As they pointed out, the case before you today is the company's request for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct and operate a natural gas distribution system to serve the city of Portal. The case number is PU-23-175. And Larry has a short presentation, and he has the PowerPoint up there, and I think everybody has copies. If you don't, I've got extras. And then we'd certainly be available for questions after that. So, Larry.
Yeah, good afternoon, commissioners and staff. Just a few slides, maybe to kind of step through the information that we included in the application. You know, as I think you know, Portal's located in northwestern North Dakota, right on the Canadian border. You know, it's a significant port, you know, between Canada and the United States. Population in 2020 was about 125 people. The city of Portal currently owns and operates their natural gas distribution system. They do partner with both Montana and Dakota on the U.S. side to do their O&M underneath an O&M agreement to take care of their system. And then they've got a small piece of the system where they connect to Sask Energy's system on the Canadian side of the border, and they have an agreement with Sask Energy to help them operate that pipe as well. Total customers are 70 total customers, 52 residential, 13 small commercial, and 5 government or basically the Port Authority buildings. So currently, City of Portal gets their gas supply from Sask Energy, where they interconnect with their system on the Canadian side of the border. They created the Portal Municipal Gas Company of Canada to own that pipeline and do an operating agreement with Sask Energy. And Mayor Smith just actually informed me the third bullet there is a little inaccurate. It's actually the Sask Energy did not inform that, you know, with the additional insurance requirements, I guess it was driven by the Canadian Energy Regulatory Board or Commission. And I'm sure Mayor Smith can provide some more information on that. But so it was not Sask Energy. It was a Canadian Energy Regulatory Board. So, and based upon those new insurance requirements, the City of Portal has determined that no longer makes it economical for them to own and operate the system. So we've been working with the City of Portal for several years and having conversations, looking to see what we can make work to get them a different supply of gas. And the proposed solution that we're proposing is we will interconnect with WBI Energy Pipeline just west of the City of Portal, and we'll own the regulation relief at that interconnect, and we'll construct a brand new distribution system within the community of Portal to serve the customers and run all new service lines to all customers. And we did go work with the City of Portal to execute a franchise agreement, and that was approved on February 7th of this year. And the next slide, I've got a quick little map, and just kind of wanted to kind of high level. This is WBI pipeline right here, WBI Energy. So we're going to construct about 8,200 feet just south of the Canadian border. This gray line up here, a dotted line, is kind of the border. Just on the U.S. side, 8,200 feet of 4-inch, and then we're going to have 4-inch going down the center of the community, and then 2-inch feeders off of that, and then all the service lines. The red is the proposed lines. The blue is actually the existing system map that we have on our GIS system, but I thought this map actually kind of gave a little better picture because it shows where WBI is and what we plan to do for the system.
So the blue does that belong to Portal, or does it belong to whom?
It belongs to the City of Portal.
Okay.
Yep. And as part of this, as part of working with them on their operating agreement, once the new system is in and we have it gassed up and all the customers moved over to Montana Dakota's system, we will decommission that existing system underneath our O&M agreement that we already have with the city and decommission it, and then everybody will be served on Montana Dakota system after that.
And this is mentioned in the original application, but this seems like a good time to ask. There's something about decommissioning. Are you talking about whatever it is that you would run through lines to make them not volatile or something if they're struck, but abandoning them in place? Or I assume you're not talking about the disruption involved with removing them.
No, we'll get all the gas out of the lines, so there's no issue with it, and abandon it in place. We'll have other connections, above ground connections, that we'll take care of and, get rid of those. But everything underground will be embedded in place, but it'll have no more. And all the gas will be purged out of there.
Okay.
So just kind of high level on the project economics, we have a total cost estimate of about $860,000 to construct the new tap on WBI Energy, the mains, and the services to serve these 70 customers. The City of Portal, through a grant application, I should probably step back a little bit. I maybe missed that bullet on the earlier slide, but it's coming on the next slide. Sorry. City of Portal will be paying a contribution to aid of construction. It's currently estimated at $634,000, and our maximum allowable investment underneath our currently effective gas extension tariff rate 120. For the 70 customers and associated gas usage, we can spend about $243,000. So the project is cost justified underneath our tariff with the contribution in aid of construction.
How is that MAI set?
MAI?
Yeah, maximum allowable investment.
It's identified on the tariff, the rate 120. There's a factor that considers.
I'm going to turn that way.
So there's a levelized annual revenue requirement, and it operates very similar to a cost of service. So it's a percentage, and then you divide the revenue coming in by that factor to determine what that maximum allowable investment is.
And what is that? What that formula? What is that intended to ensure or protect from?
That the revenue that these customers bring in, that no other customers are paying for any of the costs related to this extension.
So that the project kind of supports itself.
Correct.
And those formula numbers are set by who? The tariff is spelled out in the tariff?
Yep.
How are those
and we review that at the time of our last case.
Okay.
So it's reflective of the costs and the return outs of the last case.
I see. All right. Thank you, Stephanie. And is that different? I'm sorry. That's the same for every MDU community, every customer. It's MDUs.
Yep, it's MDUs North Dakota 1.
And my understanding, the point to that would be, like, if this were the case, if there was no grant and no other resources from the company to keep MDU from spending $860,000 for 70 customers and then everyone else ends up helping pay for it.
Correct.
So, as I mentioned, the city of Portal to pay, in order to pay the contribution aid and construction required for the project, they did apply for a community block grant with the North Dakota Department of Commerce, and those community block grants are federal dollars. And they did receive preliminary approval of that grant for, I believe, around $750,000 grant. Mm. They're expecting, hopefully, to get final approval in the next 30 to 60 days. They have to go through some environmental reviews that they're currently working through. But once they have that approval, then we can officially start on the project, go out for bids, hire contractors, and work to get the project done and built and in place. So, and as indicated, the remaining costs are cost effective underneath our rate 120 tariff and for all the service lines. The kayak will strictly be for the mains and the interconnection with WBI Energy that the city is paying for through the grant, with the grant dollars.
So, if the cost needed the construction is $634,000 and the grant is $750,000, what happens to the rest of it? Or could it be used to lower the allowable investment that company will need to charge to the customers to
I'm not sure what the particulars are of the grant, and maybe Mayor Smith can chime in if she has any particulars, but I think the city does have other costs. They have to do this environmental, so they have a third-party engineer. I believe they got to hire a grant administrator, so they've got to pay for that grant administrator. We'll basically, there'll be a true-up to our actual cost because we'll be sending them invoices as we're incurring the cost to get reimbursed through the grant. And the 634 is what our estimate is, and it'll be trued up to actual. So it could go over, could go under, but I don't think it's just going to be based upon whatever it costs us is what they can pay us.
Sounds good.
So the next three slides here just kind of give a real high-level overview of the average customer impacts compared to what the City of Portal is charging for the natural gas service today. Average residential customer... hit the button. Average residential customer is expected to save about $400 a year on the MDU natural gas service versus the City of Portal. And that's based upon our three-year average cost of gas. For 2020 through 2022, we use that three-year average because, as you know, our purchase our cost of gas adjustment does change every month, so we use that average to calculate that savings. The City of Portal will basically charge us $10 a month for a basic service charge, and then $10 a decatherm for their gas usage. And our residential rate, we do have a higher basic service charge, but we have no distribution delivery charge currently, and the cost of gas makes up their total bill. So the other benefit for the customers is that, we already serve electric to the community, So they'll be getting their gas bill on their electric bill, same bill that they're receiving, you know, combination customer bill. Plus, they'll also qualify for our balance billing. So if that's a benefit to some customers, they'll have balance billing as an option as well. On the small commercial side, very similar average based upon their average usage, about $350 a year in annual savings. And for the large commercial or the government accounts, looking to save about $2,700 a year average savings. So in summary, you know, the City of Portal is expected to get final grant approval in the next 30 to 60 days. We plan to have the new interconnection with WBI and construct that system to serve the City of Portal. The project is economic underneath our extension tariff, you know, once the contribution native construction is subtracted out of there. And we have a franchise with the City of Portal, and we respectfully request this commission approve our application for CPCN. And with that, open to any questions.
So they pay in the construction of it, but MDU is going to own the asset.
Correct.
Which page were the costs on? So in this $860,000, that's the work around town and the hookup to WBI and the mile and a half of...
Correct. Trenching. That's all in cost. Yep.
Okay, so in town, I presume you don't need... Do you need permission from each homeowner to tap into their homes, or is that a given because they live in town and so it's automatic, or what?
You know,
and I presume they're going to want it, but
once we can officially start on the project, you know, our plan is we have an application for natural gas service that we do with any new construction customer or conversion customer that they sign saying they want us to put the service line in and provide them service. We plan to go to the community and get all 70 customers to sign that application for service, just like we do for any other customers across the state.
Okay, and then the part that worries me more is the mile and a half coming into town.
Yep.
So, have you talked to those landowners about easements? Because depending on what they want, is that potential to change this cost a lot?
We do have a cost for the easements built into that $860,000 based upon what we typically typically pay for easements in that area, but we have not started negotiations with the landowners along the route yet.
And when you talk about the, okay, I'm going to ask a different question first, and then come back to that point.
Okay.
In this application that came out, it sounds sort of questionable how much longer Sask Energy was willing or could provide the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Can they go all the way till fall, or what's their hard cutoff time?
I'll maybe ask Mayor Smith to answer that question.
Our policy ended in April with them, but they did extend it until we get gas. They are willing to let us go until the final valve is turned off.
Okay, so I presume your goal is to have this operational by winter heating season, right?
By the end of the year is our goal, to have it operational. So, it's aggressive, a really aggressive time frame.
It really is, especially if that grant takes 60 days, and all of a sudden you're into August already, and you don't have easement.
We haven't went out for bids yet and all that, but we technically can't start on it underneath the terms of the grant. We can't start on the project until they have final approval and we get released to do so. So there's a real good chance that this could move into next spring, you know, before it's completed, but, you know, we're going to try to, and hopefully we get a little extended fall so we get some more time and don't get freeze up too quickly. But so.
But you think SAS Power would carry you another winter if they had to?
I think they would.
And
yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that in writing, Mayor?
We do. We did get a different contract from them that said they would extend. So, yeah,
okay.
We do have something in
there's no date on there on that one. It's
no.
Until
they were really hoping by the fall that we would be switched over, but we know now that that's not going to probably happen, you know. I have regular meetings with all the people at Sask Energy, like monthly, to keep them up to date on what's happening. So they're well aware, and we do have a Canadian attorney involved that deals with it for us. So,
and is that largely just a regulatory issue on their part? There isn't some technical issue that they have to do?
No, there's no
regulatory.
Technical. It's all the Canadian Energy
Legal
Board has.
Requirement.
Yeah, Canadian Energy Board. Our paperwork that we have to do now has become astronomical. I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah.
And then they did this $10 million insurance policy that we have to carry now on 14 feet of line, and it's costing the city like $55,000, $60,000 a year. So we can't, you know,
doesn't make sense
cover that anymore. They've changed everything up there, and it's really become a hardship for the city.
I have one question, if you're done.
Oh, yep.
So of the 70 customers, you're confident they'll all convert? They don't have any option, but they know this is happening, those folks, and are excited about it?
Yeah, we've had meetings where MDU's been up, and we've invited MDU to several city council meetings and stuff, so everybody does know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a benefit to them, so hopefully.
Yeah.
And we anticipate no cost to the customers at all, so that makes it easy. And similar to what we do on our system replacement projects, you know, we've built into this total cost estimate that we're going to hire an outside HVAC, third-party HVAC contractor, you know, to come back and then, you know, purge the inside piping, relight all the appliances, and make sure everything's operating once we come over to the new system. So,
nice.
And we built that cost into it.
And then is the land, I think Randy raised a good point on the pipeline. Is that one landowner or for the line that's extension off of WDI, is that one landowner, several landowners?
I believe there's three.
Three?
Three or thing. Maybe four when we look.
Yeah. And Mayor, you know these people.
Yeah.
You expect any issues?
We shouldn't have any issues.
Okay.
And it's all going to be bored, so it's not like they're tearing up their property or anything.
I see.
And right along the roadway.
It's four-inch four-inch pipe, did you say?
There's some couple waterways that will bore. You know, most of it will be right along.
Trenched.
You know, just inside off the right-of-way of the road, so minimal disruptions. But a lot of it will be. We're planning to trench the majority of that 8,200.
Okay.
Just the road. Nope, not the whole thing. In town, we plan to board.
Okay.
The majority of it is going to be bored in town.
Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, that's a long board.
That's a long one. That's a long one.
Are you done, Julie?
I am.
Okay. You touched on it, and I just want clarification on the communication plan. You talked about you guys, MDU, has been to city commission meetings and all that. What's the communication been to the 70 customers? Have you also like met with them or sent them communication so they know that it's coming?
MDU has not sent them each individual communication at this point. You know, there was several members of the public at the city council meetings, you know, and we did answer lots of questions, you know, from those customers, but we have not spoken to each one of them yet.
Okay, or communicated via mail or anything?
Not at this point.
We have advertised, like, when we've had our city council meetings, we put it out there on Facebook, did letters to in our regular monthly billing saying we were having the gas meeting and, you know, what is going on and stuff so that they are well aware of it. Because for one point there, we thought that we would have to go with having everybody buy propane tanks. And, you know, that was the discussion and stuff. So people were well aware of what our option was. And then when this all did come through with the grant, then we advised the whole town that, you know, we did get the grant, so they would be keeping their gas. The expense to them if they don't stay with the gas is going to be quite a bit more because, like, water heaters are not compatible to propane, so everybody that doesn't go with this would have to, you know, put in new water heaters, things like that, in their homes. So they're well aware. They know what is the challenge.
You're going to be mayor for life after this.
No, I'm not.
Nope.
You pull this one off.
This is my second term, and I wasn't going to even finish, but everybody's like, you're the only one that knows what's going on with the gas project. You have to stay.
Well, so, if approved, you bring in a construction company into a small town like that, you can overtake the town, so does the local restaurant know.
Hopefully we have one still, man.
I don't have any more questions.
Chris?
Anybody else from MDU before we hold off on staff? Anyone else have anything more?
I can add too with customs, with the government buildings, they are not included in all this because they have to pay for their own because it is a grant that customs has to pay for their own hookups.
Okay.
So that is one thing. The government cannot, we discussed it with a couple of the people with GSA and stuff, and they can't put in propane tanks. So, natural gas has to be for, you know, our government facility there in Portal.
Well, they just got the approval to keep the printing presses going for a couple more years, so I'm sure they'll be fine. So, Chris or Brian, did you have anything else that you think we should
I don't have
inquire?
Anything.
No further questions for me.
Okay. Maybe pretty fast. That would take a little bit longer. Because I thought your security detail and your staff and stuff would be more talkative.
Yeah. Your entourage.
Okay, so we're ready to wrap up then. Are there any objections to the evidence that was produced? And I'm talking about the recording as well as the document that you passed out becoming part of the official record?
No objections.
None from staff.
Okay. So the evidence will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Is there any other material for the record? And I guess my one other question I just thought of, it's your portfolio. I don't know what kind of timing, but I presume that you're not in a big hurry that a couple weeks or a month for a decision from us. We usually meet about every 2 weeks. We have a meeting in 2 weeks. Then I can't remember how long the gap is. We can also have special
it's
meetings.
Like, I thought it was 11th.
It's 2 weeks till the next one now. No, you're right.
3 weeks.
It's 3 weeks because we moved that one too. Is that a okay time frame, or is there anything in this all that hinges on a quicker decision from us?
I would just know that the notice expires on the 26th, then now the meeting's gotten moved to the 28th, so if you have any issue with that, or is that adequate?
Yeah, I don't see any concerns with it on the regular schedule, you know, because we're not going to start until we get the grant final
and
approved and everything anyway.
That's so. 30 to 60 days out.
Hopefully soon.
Any other matters for the record? Okay. This informal hearing is closed. Thank you.
Thank you.